Hello, and welcome to episode 144 of Nerds with Mice. I'm Travis.
I'm Justin.
Did I do something wrong? You're snickering over there.
It was just a long pause. Whenever we came on, you looked really startled. You were like,
I just wanted to give, I was given plenty of a gap there in case we needed to do any editing. That's all.
Big gap.
But yeah, welcome. Today we are going to talk about our wish list and don't list. I don't really know what the opposite of wish list is for Switch 2. We're going to do some more hot takes. Without further ado, for those of you that are listening for the first time, we appreciate you stopping in. We are a podcast that talks about movies, TV shows, video games, technology, and much more. Justin, what have you been up to, buddy?
Well, I need to start today's episode off by saying last week my pick of the week was the Sony Pulse Elite headset. And while I still love it, I am experiencing some technical issues. So it's disconnected on me multiple times. I did a quick search and on Reddit, I found multiple people have had the same problem where it will just disconnect. And I got to tell you, I hope it's a firmware issue. If it's a hardware issue, we're going to have some problems. I'm going to have to return that bad boy. But I do love it. The audio quality is so good. I've been playing through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth with that headset on. Like, every little thing sounds so real. Like, it's incredible. The quality is really good. If they can just fix that disconnection issue. And then basically all I've been up to is playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. If you played Final Fantasy VII Remake, it was a very linear game. You just kind of kept following the path. I mean, there were a few areas that had a little bit of flexibility in what you were going to do. VII Rebirth, I mean, I'm in Chapter 4, which if you've played the game, you know that's not very far. I'm 10 hours in. I've played this game for 10 hours. I'm only in Chapter 4. I'm trying to do every side quest, but the game is much more open. There's chocobos you can ride. There's so many different things to explore. And my weird comparison is it's kind of reminds me of Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild. Now, the game itself isn't this huge open world. There's regions. Like, you're in region, the Grasslands region to start off, and it's huge. It's its own huge map. And then you go to Junon, which is its own huge map. So you're open within those worlds. And there's two different regions, or there's more than the two, but it's not all connected into one seamless world, which is fine. But there's towers to scan, kind of like the towers in the new Zelda games. Yeah. There's like a special combat areas on the map where there's like a legendary type creature you have to kill. There's just so many neat things in this game. I just feel like I'm 10 hours in and I keep finding new things to do. The story is fantastic, which if you've played Seven, if you've played Seven Remake, you know you're in for a great time. It's just truly, truly a great game, and I'm really loving it. And we talked briefly about this over the last 2 weeks. I'm kind of sad that it came out when it did because I kind of feel like this is the last, like, powerhouse game of the year that we know of. There's just not a ton of, like, big, major blockbuster games coming out for the rest of the year, but this is definitely one of them. And it's definitely, in my opinion, a game of the year front runner. And here's another hot take. Not another hot take. Here's a hot take for you. I think if this game released last year, it may have won game of the year.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3 is a masterpiece, but this game is really, really good. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sitting here spending my entire time just gushing over Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but it's that good. I love it. It's so freaking good. So that's what I've been up to. In addition to that, I've been still playing Siege, still playing Helldivers. I'm in the middle of for the sports fans out there, I'm in the middle of a dynasty startup baseball draft, which is taking a long time. It's 40 rounds, an 8-hour clock. We've been doing this for a few days. I've got it pulled up here because I'm actually the pick after the next guy. We're in round 11. Next, then.
Huh? I said, it's a good thing I'm going next then.
Yeah. It's we're in round 11 out of 40, and we've been doing this for over a week. So maybe we'll be done by the All-Star break. I don't know. But yeah, I'm having a good time doing that. I'm ready for baseball season to start. Go Reds. Yeah, just gets a good time. Good time, Travis.
R-
what about it? What
R-
about
you? RIP, Votto. RIP.
Why would you say that?
And why would you say that? Is this not the first season without him?
Yeah, why would you say that?
I was just curious, you know, sports.
Oh
ball
my god, yeah, he's not on any team. He's like going on Instagram and the Dan Patrick Show, begging teams to sign him. And it's honestly
he's
really
gonna end
sad.
Up, he's going to end up being a sportscaster. You watch. He's going to go the Tony Romo route.
So I actually think I would love that if he did.
I don't even know why I'm talking as if I know sports because I don't watch sports.
I would rather him be a podcaster.
Oh, there you go. Maybe he'll better off Reds. Maybe he'll get on that show. You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, maybe. That show is a little defunct at the moment.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
So, honestly, I've been up to a little bit, but not too much. So I, on a whim, because I love Nathan Fillion, and I was like wanting to watch something he's in, but he's not really in a ton other than Firefly. And then I remembered that he's in a show called The Rookie. And I am not one of those like police show or like cop show type of people. Like I just have never liked those type of shows for some reason. Just because, you know, I feel like I would have a better chance of liking Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it's like a big comedy most of the time. You know what I mean?
So good.
Yeah, but like, so I decided to watch this, and honestly, because Nathan Fillion is so good, this show is really good. Like, I'm actually really enjoying it. I think I'm only about 5 or 6 episodes in so far, but it's just typical Nathan Fillion with his quick humor, and it's like he could be super funny and then also super serious at the same time. And just from a standpoint of like, the show's about, obviously, at the beginning of the show, this isn't spoilers because it's based on the premise of the show. He's going through a divorce at the very beginning of the first episode. And then he goes to the bank to get his affairs in order for his divorce. And he is a bystander of a bank robbery and almost gets killed. And because these events have taken place, obviously him going through his midlife crisis of a divorce and also like having this altercation at a bank, he decides that he wants to try to become a cop at like 40 plus years old. So he's a rookie, but he's much older than everybody else, obviously, that's in the force. So he's constantly getting crap for it. And he's like has to prove himself like twice as much as everybody else because basically his like main person that he reports to wants him to essentially fail because he sees it as just like him discovering himself and like going through a midlife crisis. But honestly, it's really good. Like, I like it. It's like a good mixture of like serious and also comedy. Yeah. So I would recommend at least checking I think all 6 seasons, I don't know. I think the show's still running, but it was so popular. It even now has a spinoff, but anyways, all the seasons are on Hulu currently, but I would recommend watching at least the first like episode or two, see if you like it. But Nathan Fillion makes it worth it in my opinion. So been watching that, because Dune 2 is out currently. I couldn't remember if I actually watched the last Dune movie. So I watched Dune, and I remember that I saw about 75% of the movie. Cause after that, I was like, oh wait, I definitely watched this, but I didn't remember finishing it. So finished that in preparations to go see that movie in theater, because I feel like that's one of those type of movies that like you have to see in theater, like to really appreciate the scale of it, I think. So I'm going to try to go see it in IMAX. And then I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14. I started I've started and completed the quest to get the car from Final Fantasy 15. That is done. However, I'm just in the process of going to the Golden Saucer, trying to recruit MPG as it is. I think I'm up to like 40,000, so I got a ways to go because I think I need 200,000 to get the car. So I got a ways to go. So I'll probably be on there doing a little bit of that tonight. I at least do like, basically I just keep rotating events like every 20 minutes. The only thing I wish you could do. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, as soon as we get done doing the show, get on there and look at your Gold Saucer challenge log.
Oh, there's a challenge log.
Yeah. Okay. That's how you can make like, I mean, if you want to do the easy ones, you can make like almost 40,000 right away. And then it actually resets on Tuesday. So tomorrow you can go do it again.
Okay.
So you can make like 80,000. You could actually make more than that. I only do the ones that are easy. I do like,
I like the one where you're like on the rail system and you're shooting stuff. Like that one's fun.
Yeah, that's one of them. So you can do like three gates, which is what that's part of. You can play like five Lord Vermilion games. And I'm going to be honest with you, sorry, 14 nerds, but I don't understand that game. But if you just launch the game, it takes like 5 minutes. Just go in the other room, do something. Go load your dishwasher or something. And you don't have to win. You can lose.
Just participate.
So I would do that. Yeah, I would do that. I would play like Marvel Snap while I'm just getting my butt kicked in that game. Just do five of them. That'll get you like, I think 30,000 combined just between like that. And then on set, so it resets Tuesday. So you can do all those today and then do them all again tomorrow.
Okay. And well, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah. And then I did the fashion contest on Reddit. There's a guide on what you should be wearing. And I did it and I scored over an 80 on the first try and got the remaining 60 some thousand from it. And I basically got
60,000 from a fashion show.
Yeah. They tell you what they want, but they give you like hints. So then you have to go find those pieces. So I just looked on the market board and bought them from the player market and entered and got it. Yeah. So I got mine on Saturday.
I'm surprised there's not a forum. Somebody just goes and like posts what you need, or is it different per?
Well, they do. That's where I found out on Reddit is what to get.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But it's not a science. It's there what they would guess that it's supposed to be. And it just so happened to be right.
The only thing that I wish is like when you're waiting, because there's usually like 20 minutes between events at the gates. I wish it would let you queue for it, go back to questing, and then right when it's about to get would let you teleport back. But I think you have to stay there. I don't think that you can, you know what I mean? I guess you could start your own timer. But there is a website that I saw that you can go to that tells you when the next one's happening so you know when to port back. But still, I wish it was just something you could – kind of like you can queue for a dungeon, keep doing whatever you want, and then when you're ready, it like calls you in essentially. I wish it was kind of like that. Yeah. Enjoying that so far. I'm really looking forward to getting that car because that's all I've been really focused on instead of leveling. I'm like sitting at 85 and I'm just doing that stuff at the Golden Saucer. So, all right. Well, I think we're actually going to switch it up because we didn't really see a lot of news today worth reporting on. Obviously, there's some sadness of some major layoffs with some of the AAA studios, but like that's not something I really want to. Jess and I are not business analysts, and it's also kind of depressing, so I don't really want to get into it. So I think we're going to lead with hot takes. We're going to do two hot takes. We're going to do a random one from the card, and then I wrote a bunch of hot takes that are in categories that we normally would talk about anyway. So that's what we're going to start with. Then we're going to get into our big topic about our Switch 2 wish list. So we're going to go for the card. You want to do the cards first, or do you want to go pull one from this category thing that I've done?
You pick.
Me pick?
You pick.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna do this number, and you tell me when to stop. How about that?
Okay. Stop.
All right. We'll see what it is. I kind of like this Russian roulette style. Oh, this is kind of a boring one.
Pick a different one.
You sure? You want to know what it is?
It's what Lyft is it?
Lyft is better than Uber.
That's dumb. Yeah, go to the next one.
All right, I'll just go to the very next one. Okay, this one's really random. Massages hurt you more than they relax you.
I've never had a professional massage.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow, you're really like selling yourself short, bro. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. That's wild that you've never had a massage.
I mean, yeah, the closest thing I've got is whenever your mom comes over, but...
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
God. Did I actually tell you my mom has started listening to the podcast now?
You've told me that every day for the last 8 years. So I don't believe you.
All right. Well, when she slides up into chat, don't think anything about it.
We're not doing it live. She can't slide up into the chat.
All right. Here is a controversial hot take based on what kind of listeners we have. You ready?
Okay.
You ready for this? God, one?
I'm scared.
You should be. The moon landing was fake.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, we just
you recently think it was?
Hey, we just recently went back to the moon.
Do you think it's fake?
Oh no, absolutely not.
Okay. I was like, hold up.
I do think it's funny though that people based on the technology, I don't know if you saw like the difference between the recording of video on the moon like back when we first landed versus like when we went back. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh my God, why is the video like so much better? Like back when we originally landed, there's like no way that like we actually went. That was definitely done on a studio. But like the video that we received was actually video transmission back to Earth versus like actually recorded. Like it just doesn't make any sense. But anyways, all right. So I want you to pick a number between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, between 1 and 6.
2.
Two movies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
All right. Animated movies are not just for kids and often contain deeper meanings than live action films. Thoughts?
Two-way answer here. They're not just for kids, but I wouldn't say they often contain more meaning than live action. I think that's just really up to the creatives behind the movie, but I definitely don't think animated movies are just for kids, no.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they're for kids, but I definitely have seen some animated movies that have hit me way harder than live action movies. But
no, I have
vary.
Two.
That's going to vary. Say. That's going to vary, obviously, from movie to movie, right?
Like, yeah, I have
I
two.
Remember, I will never forget the first 5 minutes of Up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
A straight punch right in the Jimmy, honestly. Like
Jimmy.
If you've not seen Up, then you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, the first 5 minutes of that movie are real sad. And
let's be real, if they haven't seen Up, they don't believe in the moon landing. So
I mean that's probably true. Or Wally for that matter.
Yeah.
I love that.
I believe there are animated movies that pack a bigger punch than live action movies. I believe there are live action movies that pack a bigger punch than animated movies. I don't think there's a way to actually measure like which one does it more. Like I wouldn't say animated movies always do it more, but
well, here's I feel like
they both
take.
Are capable. Oh God, let's hear it.
The Star Wars prequels are better than the original films.
That's not true. That's not even. You think so? What?
I didn't write that. That's just one I came up with. I was just wanting to get your reaction.
Yikes. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's the second best trilogy of the entire series.
I will say, however, the prequels are better than what came after the originals or after. Yes. In the timeline. Yes, I will say the prequels, in my opinion, are better than what came after Return of the Jedi. I will say.
Same. I agree with that. Yeah. And I think the prequel trilogy has aged well. I think at the time it was like cool to hate on it, you know?
Yeah.
But as we've gotten older and we've seen all the world building that's taken place around it with the Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch, all of that, Ahsoka. I mean, we're seeing that world get built up more than the original trilogy world has been, honestly.
Yeah.
So I think that the prequel trilogy has aged very, very well. And, you know, I really hate the sequel trilogy. It's not good. And the main reason it's not good is because you had a story about Anakin Skywalker making his way. You know what I mean? You had like these stories that were really carefully crafted. And then the sequel trilogy feels like three individual movies that had like no planning ahead of time.
Right? Yeah.
So yeah. That's my issue. And but maybe in 20, 30 years, we'll have shows and movies that you know, build those up. I don't know. But right now, yikes.
Yeah. I will say, too, though, outside of obviously Vader, I think the prequels have some of the coolest characters as well. Like Darth Maul, General Grievous, like some really cool characters, I feel like. And you didn't really
Mace
get
Windu.
Really. Yeah. And Mace Windu, like you didn't really get cool characters in the sequel. I think that one was a good hot take just to discuss. I wanted to say the prequels were better than the originals when really what I was getting at is they were better than the sequels after the originals, but that's I knew that I'd get you triggered if I said that.
Yeah, you did,
because this is pod racing.
Now this is pod racing. Let's try spinning. That's a good trick.
Yeah, that's right.
I like how my favorite part in that movie is when he's like in the Naboo fighter, right? In episode one.
Yeah.
And he's just like, how do we close the cover? And he pulls like the joystick and starts pulling the trigger. Maybe this will do it. And I'm like, buddy, you're just trying to kill some people. Like,
yeah, I like how he just randomly ends up in space and just blows up a ship and just like he doesn't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? Funny though, that ends up being, does that not end up the same ship that ends up being the Mandalorians?
Naboo fighter. Yeah, he gets a Naboo fighter, but it's probably not that exact same one.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it is. Anybody in the comments? I know Terry's going to be listening to this, and if he is, I want to know your thoughts on some of the hot takes, and also I want to know if it is that same ship, because I'm pretty sure
it's the same type of ship, but it's not like Anakin's ship. Okay, jeez. Yeah,
good sleep. All right. Do you have any hot takes?
No. You want to do one more or no? These are fun. I really like these.
You really like doing hot takes.
Oh, I love these. Yeah, I love trivia. I love hot takes.
We'll do trivia next week if you want.
Heck yeah.
All right. Let's do one. All right, pick a number.
Office trivia. Let's do office trivia one night.
Okay. 1 and 6. Pick a number.
1.
Okay, that's video games is the category.
Perfect.
Pick number between 1 and 10.
8.
All right. Subscription services like Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Now are the future of gaming.
Unfortunately, yeah.
The one I really wanted you to land on, I think, was do we think that cloud gaming, like cloud streaming for games, is going to be the future?
Hope not. Yeah. I don't like it. No. Cloud gaming is for people who like,
I like it on the go as an option. Like I like it like in a pinch, right? But not as a dedicated, like I'm sitting in front of my TV and I'm still streaming.
Never.
But like if I'm on the go and I have my phone or I have an iPad and I can hook a controller up to it and I got decent Wi-Fi and it's enough to get me by, cool. But I do not want it to be my primary way of gaming.
Yeah, I can honestly say I will never make that my primary way of gaming. If that's like where it goes, like I honestly am probably dipping out and just sticking with like what I have now.
I feel like
I can't imagine it. Huh?
Go ahead.
I just can't imagine it will happen eventually where everyone has access to high-speed internet that can accommodate that. But I got to be honest, it's not going to be during our lifetime. There are still rural parts of our country that don't have high-speed internet. So, like, tell me that they're going to make it capable of doing that. You're going to exclude all those people from playing? No. It's not the future. Right. It's not the actual future.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like a lot of these could be topics for a podcast, but I'm just throwing them to you as hot takes. I'm going to give you one more because I think this is a really good one.
Okay.
And I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it. Video game remakes and remasters are stifling the creativity of the industry.
It is. And I'm enabling it because every time they're like, ooh, The Last of Us Part 2
remaster. Oh, bro, you were all over that, bro.
You're absolutely right.
We got to get it. I was like, and then I watched your review on Digital Foundry of like a side by side, and they were like, I mean,
the same.
If it would have been more than $10, I'd have been like, hard pass, dog. You could have sent $10, me that money.
That's a good price.
You could have sent me that money and I would have just kept it.
That's good. I mean, to be fair, so like in their defense, they did add new game modes. They added like a roguelite game mode, and then they added a director's cut where you can like play scenes that were cut from the game with director's commentary, which is like, I feel like for the most part, unheard of. But then you get some remasters that are just like, oh, hey, we bumped it up to 4K, guys. That's it.
Yeah. It's and like I think $50, that's the thing. Please. It's like there's a clear difference between a remake and a remaster. And I think sometimes the line is blurred a little bit between the two. Yeah. I will say that I think there needs to be like a statute of limitation where a game has to be out for a certain amount of time before it goes to either one of those phases. Yeah. I wish there was like, you know, we're not going to remaster or remake a game like 5 years until 5 years after its release or something like that, you know, but like when a game has been out 3 years and I could have already bought it like 4 times over, like I just not a big fan of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now I get it. Like
that they did the $10 upgrade if you already had it.
That I do appreciate. But what I will say is like, I don't mind it if like a console was like at the end of like its generational cycle, right? Like, for instance, like when we went from the Wii U to the Switch, right? And they have two versions of the game, like that I get. but like, you know, when it's like less than 2 years from like release, I just don't. Now, I could see like a definitive edition where it's like all the DLC that you didn't buy and like all that stuff. And then they re-release with like everything that you could have bought for the game all wrapped into one. Like,
and that's not targeted for people who bought day one. That's targeted for people who hadn't bought the game.
Yeah. Like when I bought the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, where it was basically the definitive edition of all the games and they were drastically improved, like by controls and also visuals, like, yeah, I'm definitely down for that. But like, I feel like there was enough time that had passed for that to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our section of hot takes. I feel hot like takes. You'd love to do just an episode of just hot takes.
I would. I truly love playing games like that. So
yeah, we need to figure out how to do a virtual board game night or something like that.
I do.
So, but anyways, all right. Well, that was our hot take section. I would love for anybody that's listened or watched this episode to go to our comments and engage with some of the hot takes that we had. I'd love to hear everybody's opinion. Also, if you have any hot takes yourself, as long as they're appropriate for the audience that be, feel free to drop your hot takes in chat and we'll reply to them as well. Or we can bring them up on our next episode. You can leave us some hot takes for us to bring up on our next week's episode when we record. We'd love to hear what you all have to say. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our next topic, which is what we would like to see on our Switch 2 wish list. Now, Justin, you said the Switch had a birthday, right?
Yeah, yesterday, March 3rd, I believe, was the Switch's birthday. Let's see here. It came out in 2017, March 3rd, 2017. So it is now 7 years old, going into its 8th year. Rumors are swirling about a Switch 2, which they honestly have been for a very long time. The Switch Pro, Switch 2, you know, I mean, basically, ever since this thing came out and it was severely underpowered, people have been like, oh, the Pro version's coming. The Switch 2's coming. You know, it's been nonstop for the last like 5 years.
Then we got a Switch Lite.
And Switch OLED, yeah. So we are kind of at the point where the rumors are really picking up that a Switch 2 is coming soon. Most recent rumors indicate spring of 2025. So we just kind of wanted to sit down and talk about what do we want out of a Switch 2? Like, we have the Switch 1. We know what it is. We've had it for a really long time. And I got to be honest with you, I'm tired of it. I'm done with mine. You know, like, I'm ready for the Switch 2. And I'm looking at the list that we came up with. You have a lot of hardware-specific things. I have a lot of I have a kind of a combination. So do you want to jump in and do your things you want to see within reason?
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that we should get without question asked right out of the gate, we should not have two different models that offers this and that. It needs to be one SKU, I think, in my opinion. Okay. But I have a feeling if anything, they might release two models based on storage space. But what I would like to see is OLED across the board, not like we're going to go ahead and release, and then 2 years from now, we're going to come out with an OLED model. You know, I would probably be okay if they came out and said, well, here's a non-OLED and here's an OLED model. But realistically, they just need to go OLED across the board. Like, if you look at handheld consoles like the Steam Deck, for instance, like, they have non-OLED versions now, and then they have the OLED version. But with technology the way it is, and especially because the Switch now currently in its state has OLED as an option, there's no way that you can release a new model of the Switch and it not be OLED at this point. You know what I mean? I think
it's rumored to not have OLED though, right? Isn't that the rumor?
Possibly. I don't know why. Yeah. I just don't know why it wouldn't.
Probably
to
keep startup costs down, but that does
maybe
suck.
Yeah. I think that we should have full backwards compatibility. Now, what I mean by that is I don't necessarily mean like they need to use the same cartridge-based system, but if you've bought any digital games, it should have full backwards compatibility with any Switch games that you've bought digitally, in my opinion. You know, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with the style of cartridges they have now. I mean, it works, but I buy all my games on the Switch digitally. Do you buy physical media on Switch, or is it all digital?
All digital.
Yeah. The bad thing about that, though, is sometimes Nintendo will just shut down like eShops and you just lose your purchases forever. So, like, you know, that's Nintendo, the bad thing about
they're pretty scummy, honestly.
Yeah, out of all the companies, I feel like they don't care to just pull the plug. Like, I know the Wii U store went away. Like, I think the 3DS stuff went away. Like, and they just, you know, what do you do with that, right?
Yeah.
So I think they should definitely have full backwards compatibility with Switch games, especially since it's just the previous generation, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think it should have AI image upscaling. You know, since it has a NVIDIA GPU, and the next one is rumored to also have an NVIDIA GPU, they are now in beta for, and I'm actually in the beta for it now, where they use AI upscaling. So, like, if you want to have it digitally upscale to a higher resolution than what it would normally be able to run, you know, you can do that. My, you know, the handhelds that you have now have that option. A lot of them, like AMD, has their own software that does it, where it will upscale it, but still keep it running smooth. So it should have something that helps maybe do that, because, like, if you're in performance, you don't lose frames because it's running into issues being able to keep up. And, you know, AI can do that. Also, one of the biggest gripes on the Switch now is the Joy-Con drift. Have you ever had, mm-hmm. have you ever suffered from Joy-Con drift?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have Hall Effect joysticks, those actually use magnets inside of them. So it's a lot less likely that you'll get joystick drift. There's some controllers that obviously have it already. Like, if you I have those Hori game controllers that you attach to the Switch, which those are Hall Effect. Also, if you ever had a Backbone controller for your phone, those use Hall Effect. So it's definitely technology has been out for a while. It's just, you know, that I think they would do good to be able to use it. And speaking of controllers, I feel like I would like it to be, the Joy-Cons to be a little bit bigger, because, like, trying to play handheld,
yeah,
just, there's a reason that I bought those third-party ones, is because it cramps my hands, and I don't really have that big of hands, but it's just uncomfortable to play. I feel like it should also have custom homepage and themes. Like, you didn't really get that in the last one at all. Like, I do like how simplified it is, but with the amount of IP that they have, they could really do a cool theme system, like where you can trick out your screens with one of their properties, right? And the fact they're not leveraging that, even if it's something you go in the eShop and you buy a theme, like, cool. Or if maybe you pre-order a game. Like, remember, I miss the days of old when PlayStation 3 had the themes, where if you pre-ordered a game, you might get a theme for that game.
Yeah.
They had, you know, I don't have
anything anymore.
No, they don't. I also thought it'd be cool if maybe, like, if it did still dock and they use that, is maybe the dock could have integrated components to make it more powerful when you go to dock it. So maybe, like, if you're obviously gaming, it's capped at maybe 1080p. But when you dock it, it can then go 4K. Obviously, with the power of handhelds, like, I mean, to your point, this thing has been out 7 years, right? So, you know, with you having other handhelds out now, like the Steam Deck, the ROG Ally, the Legion Go, performance is something that's been increased dramatically since its release. So it might be that you could dock it and just play 4K natively off the handheld itself. But if it had some sort of discrete graphic in the dock that when you did it, it maybe sideloaded off some of that strain from the unit, and just allowed you to have better performance, you know, because for so many console generations, they've always seemed to lag behind. I would love for them to seem like, for once, they're on par or almost on par. I would even be happy with almost on par. You know what I mean? Like, because at this point, like, they're not even like PS4 quality, in my opinion. No, you know what I mean? So, you know, so I think that's something, you know, I think that's something that would help with that. And then the last thing, and this isn't hardware related, however, I really want Metroid Prime 4, and I think that would make a great launch title for this console. I know that you're going to mention some others, but, like, I really think that this would make a great one because it's been in development for a while. And I don't want them to just do, like, when the Switch came out, coming off the hills of the Wii U, where they, like, oh, well, here's a new version of Mario Kart that's basically the same thing you had on here, yep, but now it's better graphics with added content. I don't want them to do that. Like, I want some new IPs. Don't get me wrong, like, if they drop some Tears of the Kingdom and it's, like, way better and way cooler, that, yeah, I'm down. But they also need to have some good, like, actual, like, first day launches as well. But that's what I have for some of the things that I wanted.
Okay. So we actually have a couple of the same ones. So I won't go too in depth on those, but one thing I absolutely want is a virtual console. We had before, where you could buy your classic games, buy them, keyword buy them, and own them, and it was awesome. And then they kind of pivoted it to the Switch, where, you know, Virtual Console never really came, and then it was like, oh, subscribe to our monthly service and get access to these games, but you don't.
And you have to be online to play those, right? Like, you can't not be online.
I actually don't know. Maybe. But so that was kind of annoying. Like, I don't want to pay $20 a month or however. No, it's not $20. It's $20 a year. I don't want to pay, period. I want to just buy the game and own it. So bring that back. Don't be scummy. You mentioned this a minute ago, but I'd like to have a handheld mode. Like, when you buy it out of the box, you have it in your hand. Performance at least on par with the Steam Deck. It can be done, and it can be done affordably. Steam Deck is very reasonably priced now, the LCD model. The OLED model is not terrible.
So,
and by the time this thing comes out, it'll probably be even lower.
I would pay a little bit more of a premium. Like, they don't need to necessarily, like, for me, I would pay more than $300 or $350 for something that was, like, well worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something I think that has to happen. I mean, because the Steam Deck can play, I mean, it can play PS5 games, not PS5 quality resolution, but it can play games that are out on PS5. It can play them. So 100% this needs to happen. And then you'd mentioned the dock. I've been talking about this literally since like day one of the Switch. And I know from like a hardware standpoint, it may not be possible for the Switch 1, but for the Switch 2, it's something they really should focus on, is making a dock that does have extra components, whether it has an extra GPU, RAM, whatever. Start designing for that now. I even think, to keep costs down, I think a good idea would be to sell the Switch with the dock bundle, right? Maybe it costs $600, who knows? But then maybe sell just the handheld version for like $300, and then you can buy the dock separately. But that way...
Oh, that's a good model, especially since people are already in the habit with like the Steam Deck and stuff of just having handheld, and that's it.
Yeah, people may not want the dock, and people may need the dock, or maybe people can't afford both now, but they can still get it later. But that way, that, you know, you could get your handheld performance, but then buy a dock with boosted specs. I think that would be a great idea. And then, so if it launches spring 2025, I truthfully believe that this is too soon for a new Zelda game to come out. So I think they should repackage Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom for a Switch 2 special version. $60, one game. Both games in one package is what I'm trying to say. And then also announce a new Zelda game. Why not? It's like one of your flagship games. I actually thought of something too while thinking about this. I think it'd be cool if they would announce like Ocarina of Time remade with this.
That's engine. Exactly what I was getting ready to look up to see when that game released.
Ocarina of Time?
Yeah.
97, I think.
Yeah. What if...
for the 30th anniversary?
Yeah, what if they wait till 2027, the 2027, and release it?
That's when the Switch 2 Pro will come out. yeah. But yeah, those are the things that I want. Now let's jump into things that we don't want to see. Okay.
Okay.
For me personally, I don't want a gimmicky controller. Do you remember when they announced the Switch and they were like, it's like there's ice in here, guys?
Yeah.
It's like there's ice in the controller. And I'm like, yeah. I don't care. It's cool that you can do that, but like, that's not like a selling point. I'm like, guys, have you seen the Joy-Con? It sounds like there's ice in there, or feels like there's ice in there.
I will tell you, I just wanted to, I'll obviously let you finish, but to your point, gimmicky controllers. Time, yeah. With the exception, if they could do a thing like the PS5 controller does with resistant triggers,
that's not a gimmick, like though. I don't think that's a gimmick.
No. But I'm just saying, like, if they could do that, because they have a lot of titles that I feel like would be excellent on, like if Mario Kart, like if you got hit with a shell, maybe your gas doesn't work for a second and you can't press it down, or you know, things like that. But yeah,
So no gimmicky controllers. I'm talking like the Wii remotes. Like, they worked, but like, we don't need just something for the sake of it being different. We need it to be practical, something that other developers will want to bring games to your system. I do want to jump up to things that I do want. One thing I want is I want analog triggers, because that is the entire reason why we haven't, I like how I'm doing this. That is the entire reason why we haven't got any GameCube games for backwards compatibility, because they had the GameCube had analog triggers and games require that. So make that happen. Yeah. But back to things I don't want. I don't want an online service. I mean, there needs to be online gameplay, but like, you don't do enough to charge me for this crap. Like, and it barely works. Yeah. I shouldn't have to ask you for a friend code. It shouldn't be all these dumb hoops. So if you're not going to just follow what works that everyone else is doing, just don't do it. Just don't
do it. If I can't have a reasonable chat where I can chat with friends or an easy way to join in games and stuff, like the fact that I can't have profiles where I can add people to friends list and I'm still having to send out a code as if I had like a DS.
Yes. It's ridiculous. No. And like, I feel like you have to use your phone app to chat in game, which, I mean, I'm sure people are doing that, but I'm going to go ahead and say no one's doing that.
I was so excited when there was rumors that Xbox was going to bring over Xbox Live to the Switch. And I was like, oh God, my problems are about to be solved. Yeah. And then it didn't happen. I was sad.
Here's one better. How about you fully integrate Discord? Just don't even let Discord do it. Let Discord do it.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do anything, Nintendo, but don't charge us anything for this crap because it sucks. Yeah. And then also, I felt like the Switch has always been kind of flimsy, especially like, because I know the Joy-Cons slide in. It just feels like at any moment they could just snap off. A sturdier build would be nice. I remember holding like the Steam Deck and thinking, this feels like a really good, sturdy piece of equipment. Something like that.
Yeah. I have the Legion Go and I was kind of concerned because it also has like this controllers that you can, the controllers that you can slide off. And I was worried there was going to be like wobble or it was going to feel like flimsy, but honestly it doesn't. You all right there? Did I break
you? I'm good.
Okay.
So you did it and like, I saw it and I was like, I can keep it together. And then you were like, I'm going to do it again. Stop it.
But anyways, so for me, after putting a after two things, one, owning a Steam Deck that was the anti-glare, and then also after owning an OLED Switch and putting a matte screen protector on it, one of the things that I don't want is a reflective screen. I feel like they need to go matte screen is what they need to do, especially if it truly is going to be a handheld that you're going to want to take everywhere. You're going to want to go outside. You're going to want to, you know, take it with you. You don't want reflection, right? So I think going matte, or if they end up having two models, maybe they have the LCD version and then they have the OLED version, which is matte. Maybe, I don't know, but I would prefer there to be as little SKUs as possible. I don't want like 20,000 SKUs. I feel like quality over quantity. So I want good quality titles. I don't need a ton to choose from, like, especially at launch, like give me some really good titles, right? Some stuff that, you know, I feel like is truly going to be next gen for this console. I don't need a bunch of re-releases from things I've played for the past 3 years. Now, I understand that maybe in the beginning, if it's going to be light, you're going to bring some stuff over towards the end of the Switch cycle, the current Switch cycle, but I don't need you to repackage all the Nintendo IP and try to give a fresh paint and try to, you know, don't piss in my hair and try to convince me it's raining, right? Don't try to pull one over on me, Nintendo. You're like so confused by that analogy, right? But no, I just think that like they truly need to have some good launch titles. And they need to, you know, they need to try to avoid, to that point, limited launch titles. Because I felt like when the Switch first came out for the longest time, it felt like months and months before things started to roll out for that console. Now, one category that I wanted to do is if we could do anything we wanted to do, if we could just write Nintendo and be like, you should think about it at least. This one's a hot take, I think, depending on how they implemented it. But there evidently is rumors that this might be something for the new one. Is a VR experience, supposedly a headset that you can actually slide the actual tablet part into and you would actually wear it. I think that could be, especially because you would have controllers that you could use in your hands that maybe would allow you to play some games maybe in a virtual environment. You know, I think about like the fitness side of it, right? Like Wii Sports, like how cool would it be if you could just kind of put it on and then, you know, you're just playing in games, stuff like that. So I think that could be cool. But more than anything, I wish there was an app store. Like an app store. So you can like, cause the Xbox has an app store where you can download, go in and down different like you know, different apps and stuff. But I feel like if there was an app store, if they worked really well, and this is something we'll get into in the next part, if they work better with like with other companies, right? The Switch would be a great destination if it could support xCloud, if it could support PlayStation Remote App, if it could support GeForce Now. Well, I did say earlier that like I don't think streaming is like going to solely be the future of gaming. I think it would be great options for like maybe somebody wants to sign up for Game Pass that doesn't own an Xbox, but they solely are okay with just like streaming those games over the cloud. Really cool option. I don't think Sony would ever open up the PlayStation Remote App for it because it would, I mean, because their PlayStation Portal is not doing great already. But if they decide to not go down that path anymore, maybe they discontinue the portal, then maybe they would possibly open up the app to work maybe on a Switch. But like when I think about the Switch, right, I think about being the perfect thing for cloud gaming, right? Because you can buy a dedicated cloud streaming handheld device. It's the Logitech one for like $300, right? Mm-hmm. The Switch would be able to do that more, right? And I think that's also a way that you can get back past maybe some of the hardware limitations of it being underpowered, as if you could stream from these other services as well. That's what I had. What about you?
So for me, mine's not as bold as yours. I want the Switch to be a machine that will actually attract third-party games and not make them feel like a chore to play. So I'm not going to say what the game is, but I will say it's an annual release, okay? And it's been coming out on the Switch since the Switch came out. And every year, this is one of the most best-selling games of the year, every year, worldwide, okay? Since the Switch came out, this game has received a 5.5 its first year, 5.8 its second year. This is from IGN. A 4, a 2, and then a 2, and then a 4. This is one of the best-selling games of all time. It reviews well on every other system except for Switch. It's a sports game. It is a sports game, but it's one of the best-selling games every year, and it's the FIFA/FC series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know how easy it is to like make a soccer game fun on video games? It's really easy. It's a really easy thing to do. But like the fact that even EA is just like, just throw something out there. Like, I know it's EA, they don't have the best reputation in the world, but I mean, this is a game that does well everywhere else on every other console. It's like I said, it's consistently one of the biggest selling brands in video games because soccer is a worldwide sport. And then not only that, the popularity of Ted Lasso kind of boosted it, I feel like. But they just put, like, EA clearly doesn't want anything to do with it. In fact, the 23 version of the game is called FIFA 23 Legacy Edition because they're running off such an old engine. They're not even on, like, the new stuff. So I don't know. I feel like we had a Call of Duty game once, or maybe that was even on the Wii U. And just, I feel like third-party developers have just kind of dipped out on the Switch. I mean, you'll get some random ones like The Witcher, I think, got a release, and Skyrim got a release. But like, these are all old games. Like, no one's saying, hey, you know what? We're going to bring Star Wars Outlaws to the Switch. We're going to bring Assassin's Creed to the Switch, which actually Ubisoft may have done that. But
Hogwarts Legacy, which is crazy to think about.
Is it one of the games that streams, or does it actually play off the console?
It actually plays off the console.
Well, that's very impressive, and I didn't know that it played like that. But I mean, third-party games just get no love on the Switch. It's been that way for a while.
Well, and the thing is, too, is because it requires them to basically reverse engineer everything they've done, a lot of times these things get sourced out to third-party companies that actually will do the port to the Switch, is how it usually happens. But, I mean, if you think about it from the developer side, though, think of all this work that you're doing for all these other consoles to make sure it's great. But then when you get to the Switch, you feel like your hands are tied because of the limitations of that hardware. You know what I mean?
I got one more for you. Mortal Kombat 1 received an 8 out of 10 on every other platform. It got a
8
out of 10 for the Switch.
I was actually going to bring that up because it evidently was big boy trash on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at these. I'm actually looking at the list, and I'm only finding really indie games, bad third-party games, or good first-party games. Hogwarts Legacy did get a 9, it looks like, unless that's the same review. That might be the same review from...
I think... The big, a recent big hit that hit the Switch, but of course, I think it was in the Switch's wheelhouse, was the new Prince of Persia game. But I think it found a good home there because it didn't require a whole lot from the Switch. I think that's the problem.
Right. It's the perfect kind of game port, perfect third-party game for the Switch.
And think about, like, did they bring No Man's Sky to the Switch?
Ooh, I feel like maybe they did or they're going to.
Yeah, but like, yeah, so I'll get into, because I know you didn't really have anything. Did you have anything for your actual Nintendo wish list, which is just like things you wish the company itself would do?
Well, I wish they had put an emphasis on third-party games, which obviously their first-party games are phenomenal. I mean, they've built iconic characters over the last 40 years that, like, those, they're fine. They're fine in that regard. I mean, I don't want to steal from your list here, so I won't, but...
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
Well, you have better online service. If they truly want to invest there, that's fine, but don't roll out some gimmicky thing and say, guess what, guys? We fixed online. But, like, I should never have to enter a code. Period.
Right.
I mean, just if we're talking just brand as a whole, I mean, no, the brand overall, I think, is fine. I think they're a little scummy as far as like shutting down games, re-releasing too many things, which I just asked for Zelda re-releases. But that's another thing too. They don't
really. You said you're part of the problem and you're right.
I am. Well, yeah, I think about it. Like, if I want to play Twilight Princess right now, I can't unless I want to pirate it, which I would never, ever do. Because I'm a good person. But like, they just like have so many games that are like gatekept behind these weird rules. When if they just had a virtual console, I could just have it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's not like people wouldn't pay for it. It's like, you're out here shutting down all these like emulators, which people are going to try to be able to play these games that they may not be able to get their hands on anymore, but you're not giving them another avenue to get those games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. It's frustrating.
Especially like they had released an F-Zero game for the Switch, but the only way to play it is you had to pay for their online service. You couldn't just buy the game.
Yeah, that should never be a thing, ever. If you want to give me like a bonus something for subscribing to the service.
Or like, hey, I get the battle pass automatically if I want to have the online service, something like that.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine. But don't lock the game behind that. That's just trash, man.
Keeping stuff behind a paywall is never a good idea.
No.
So for me, and you had already said this earlier, but just in general, better online services, I think would be really good. One thing I would like to see, and I know this is asking a ton, is there for a while they like dipped their toe into the mobile gaming space, right? Not saying I want them to make a comeback of that, but what I would love for them to do is maybe work in integration between mobile apps and their actual games that you play on the console. Like if there's something that maybe a mobile version of that game that I bought on my Switch that like, while I can't play that on the go, maybe there's a mini game I can do to help me get stuff in set game or something like that. Like have almost like companion apps, so to speak, for certain games, not everything, but certain games. Or even an app for me to like shop your eShop. Like, is there an eShop app? I don't think there is there?
I don't think so.
But maybe they wouldn't want to do that for other reasons now I think about it. So never mind. And then you'd already said it, increased third-party support. I think that's one of the biggest opportunities they have right now is being better partners. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times Nintendo throws their weight around and it's kind of similar to Sony, right? Like Microsoft out of all the company is like, let's all just get along. Let's all just share like what's great for everyone is great for the gamers, right? Like in regards of like, you know, giving players more options, more choices of where they want to play their games, whatever. But like, I feel like Sony and Nintendo keep their stuff very close to the vest, right? Like, I feel like they need to reach across the aisle a little more, so to speak, and just, you know, not saying that other IP should show up on other platforms. That's not what I'm saying, but like, have an open mind about certain things in regards of like how you approach, you know, the consumers. Yeah. And then deliver a platform, which this next Switch or just, you know, whatever's to come out, the developers want to bring their games to without feeling like they have to sacrifice certain things in their game. You know what I mean? Like they want to be able to provide the best experience, because the thing is like with you and I, like we're not the, you know, you and I have multiple consoles, and I don't say this stuff to toot our horns, but like, we buy games where we want to play them, right? Mm-hmm. But some people will choose to buy the Switch and this will be the only game system they have, right? So while we may buy a game on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and we have a great experience with that game, right? Somebody goes to play that same game on the Switch, has an absolute trash experience, but guess what? They don't know how great that game really could have been. They only know the bad experience that they had with that one game. So if you think about it from a developer standpoint, like, you don't want to be known as the company that delivered that poor experience, even if you're getting 8 on every other console.
Yeah.
For little Timmy or little Jimmy or you know, whatever, this may be the only time that they play that
Timmy
game.
And Jimmy.
But this may be the only experience they ever have with set game, and they just have a bad experience, right? Like, they need to create a console that doesn't require people to have to reverse engineer and figure out a way to make their stuff playable on their handheld, essentially, is what they need to do. Because I feel like Nintendo is only concerned about Nintendo, and Nintendo going to be doing what Nintendo does, you know? And they need to be not only concerned with, will our hardware play our games, but how can we make it a better experience for everybody else? Yeah. You know what I mean? That wants to bring their games here. That's the biggest thing that I feel like, one of the biggest things that Nintendo needs to work on. So is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I just can't wait to finally get to see what this thing is and what it can do. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
Because it supposedly was already supposed to be announced, and that's why their stock took a dip. But the rumors are we're supposed to hear something sometime springish, right?
I'm actually not sure about that. Until they do, I'm not going to believe any rumor, because like I said, since like 2020, they've been saying, oh, the Switch Pro is coming out or something. And it never happened.
If they were smart,
Bloomberg reported on it.
Yeah, if they were smart, they would try. I think they should try to at least have it out by this holiday, because if you think about it, there won't be any other consoles. I wouldn't think any from Microsoft or from Sony. I wouldn't imagine anything coming this holiday, would you?
No. You know the coolest way they could announce it, honestly? Don't make to announce it, not to show it, but to announce it. Don't make some big deal about it first. Instead, show a really cool trailer for a launch title, maybe Metroid Prime 4, right? Show good graphics, you know, everything better. And then at the end, say, coming to Switch 2 2025. And everyone's like, wait, what? There's a Switch 2? Yeah. I think that would be so much fun. And then, like, make us wait for like the announcement. I think that would build so much hype.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it's like coming. Just make it fun.
I would like to just see a ghost drop of a just a Treehouse event, just random day. Nobody knows about it. Like, they don't even put it out in the press and say, like,
they're not going to do that.
Yeah. You know, I would love them to be like, oh, Nintendo posted to their YouTube today. And I hear it from all these other sources instead of Nintendo themselves. You know what I mean?
One of my favorite announcements, it wasn't like a surprise drop, but it was like, it was the year Fallout 4 came out, because it was E3, and they're like, oh, here's Fallout 4. And guess what? You're going to play it in a couple months. And like, it came out just like a few months later. I hate when they're like, oh, here's a trailer for a game that looks really good. Maybe you'll live the 4 years before it comes out, you know?
Yeah.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I hope it's something that blows our socks off. Because honestly, like, after how long I've had the Switch, dude, I'll be honest. I've probably, in the life cycle of the Switch itself, and I mean from the beginning, mm-hmm. I've probably played less than 200 hours on a Switch.
Oh,
to be honest with you.
I've played more than, wait, 200 hours? I mean, it's probably pushing it, but probably hasn't exceeded that now.
It's like I played it long enough to fully beat Breath of the Wild, and that's about it.
Yeah. So, I put 85 hours alone into Siege during this newest season.
I thought you were going to say during this podcast right now.
85 hours.
But like, I want a reason to play the Switch. Like, I want to, because I'll tell you, like, and this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll move on to nod of approval. But like, if a game is like right now, like, I'm enjoying my Legion Go so much, like the handheld experience, like, you know, like, we have Final Fantasy Remake on PlayStation, but I'm enjoying like being able to play anywhere or be able to play in bed or whatever, that I chose to get it on my handheld, right? Like, I want a reason to want to play like the Switch like that, right? Like, because I'll tell you, like, if a game says, oh, okay, yeah, we're releasing this day and we're going to be available on all platforms, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get down the Switch. You know what I mean? Like, nothing says that, like, I'm going to bypass buying it on all these other things and I'm just going to buy it on the Switch, because I know that that Switch experience, and let outside of the fact that maybe it's an indie title, right? Or like Prince of Persia, something that is in the Switch's wheelhouse, right? I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to buy it on the Switch. You know what I mean? Because I know that whatever it is, I'm getting a lesser experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that they need to overcome, that if you know that you're buying a game on a Switch, you're already thinking in your mind that I'm going to have a less of an experience than what I would somewhere else. You know what I mean? So that's the last thing that I'll say. So let's go ahead and get into nod of approval. I didn't see that you had anything written here. Do you have anything for nod of approval?
I do. It's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. My God, it's so good.
Man. Dude, how many hours do you have? Like 5 or 6?
I said earlier I had 10.
Oh, 10. Okay. It looks gorgeous. And I've also heard, I don't know if you can confirm this or not, that you could romance Tifa. Is that right?
You can. Yeah, you can. You can romance any of them, including Red 13.
I don't know who Red 13 is.
He's the dog. Oh. Cat, lion, whatever. I think he's a dog.
Marley's trying to get up on the camera. He's trying to get up on bed. I got to fix this.
Come here. Oh, boy. Yeah. Butt crack alert.
Oh God, she ripped my headphones out. She's so old that she can't. She's so old that she can't jump up on anything now. Was my butt crack hanging out?
It was
solid. Yeah. Well, I hope y'all enjoy that. All those listeners are gonna go and look and be like, oh, an hour and 2 minutes into the podcast, we get to see Travis's butt crack.
Well, it was just funny too, because we can't see anything you're doing. You just turn around and all of a sudden,
boom, there it went. I forgot you can't see behind me. Sorry. There's like a small
perfect thing.
There's a small, just so our listeners know what's happening, there's a small bed. It's like a day bed that essentially unstacks and you can turn it into two beds. So if I have somebody come stay. Anyways, I keep them stacked, so it kind of sits like a couch. Well, anyways, my black lab, Marley, which you've heard over the course of this almost 8-year podcast, bark occasionally. Well, she's now over 10 years old, almost 11, and she can no longer jump up on things. So what she'll do is she'll get up and put her front paws on the bed, and then I'll have to lift her back end up. And that's what she was doing. So I had to sacrifice my butt crack to allow her to get up, to get up, you know, of all the things for it to block out, it couldn't block out my butt crack. You know what I mean?
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
Well, if I need to go in and add something over top of it, I will. Is it going to get us banned?
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad at all.
Okay. Well,
I zoomed in on it though.
Just so you know, anybody listening, if you go watch the video, it's like an hour and 2 minute marker. You'll see my booty cheeks. Make sure to holler at them. All right. So back to what you're saying. So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, huh? Now, I do one. Like the fact that, like, because I've played a good part of VII Remake so far, and it is very linear. However, I'm excited to see kind of the more open world esque version of, it makes me wonder, cause I never, did you play the OG ones?
Yeah.
Back on PlayStation? You did?
I did.
So obviously I know these are dramatically different in regards of like 3D and like more action and not turn-based, but like in this one, was the first half of the game very linear and then it went to open world, or like, how does it compare to the original with what they're doing now?
Yeah. So the remake is the Midgar section of the original, which was pretty linear. And then it opens up, but they took like a 5 to 10 hour portion, turned it into like a 40 hour game for remake, which is pretty funny.
So Rebirth is going to be way longer than remake, correct?
What's up?
So Rebirth is going to be much longer than remake.
I think the general idea is that it's longer, but not like by a crazy amount, unless you just do everything. If you do everything, then probably, but there's still like a third chunk that we don't have yet.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get the third game probably in like 5 years.
And that will tie it up?
Yeah. Well, I assume we'll finish it in 3. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Cause like, was it the OG game, like 4 disc on the old PlayStation?
three or four. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. So for me, you'll have to look it up and let me know later.
Yeah. I think 8 was 4 discs and 7 was 3.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite Final Fantasy game?
My buddy
Alex really loves Final Fantasy X. I don't know if it's his favorite, but what I'll tell you is that he has characters from that game tattooed on his leg. So I would assume that's cool. His favorite.
I would hope so. Probably 7. But I really like 8 a lot, which is kind of unheard of. A lot of people, 8's usually kind of lower on lists, but I really loved 8. And then of course 14.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you play 15?
15? Actually, no, I didn't beat that one. I only played it for a little bit.
Cause that was like the first in this new modern style, like action game, right? Is when they kind of switched to that engine, which I feel like it was a long time coming because I feel like they took a lot of the stuff that they introduced in like the Kingdom Hearts games and essentially brought them over to this game is kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
Which I never, and this is kind of off topic, but I played Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, but I never played 3. Did you?
I've only played 3 actually. I never played the first two, and I don't really care for Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay. You just don't like the like mixing universes together.
No, I like that. I just didn't really care for the game. It didn't really grab me.
The first two are great, but I haven't played 3, so I can't speak to that. All right, so my not approval is honestly because I wasn't expecting to like it is going to be The Rookie, because I do not watch cop shows. Occasionally, I'll catch an episode, like if episode of Law & Order is on for some odd reason. I don't know why, but it's that jin-jin. I watch Law & Order, but I'll, you know. But honestly, if you like Nathan Fillion, it's definitely worth checking out. It's really good so far. I'll be curious if you check out the first episode, just let me know what you think. You don't have to dive into it, but I am curious of what you think. Cause he still should have been the Nathan Drake that we got on screen.
I agree.
But anyways, anything, that you would like to add before we go?
Yes. This is directly to Sony. Please release a firmware update from my headset.
Yeah. I will mention that March 22nd, which, what day is the 22nd on, Justin? Do we know?
I don't know.
Let's take a gander. March 22nd is a Friday. Ooh. So I don't know if we'll be able to do a Friday, but we could try to do a Friday. But March 22nd is actually the 8-year anniversary from when we released our first episode, which was 0.5, I think was our first episode that we released. Justin and I actually went back and I don't know if you finished the whole thing, but
I didn't get to finish it though.
Went back and listened to our first episode. And honestly, I felt like we were way more polished then than we are now. but you know, we're a little loosey goosey now, so we don't stick so much to the script, but it was good to go back and listen to that episode. But what we would like to try to do is we would like to try to see if we can get a bunch of people on here that has appeared on previous episodes at some point in time. So we're thinking Maxwell, we're thinking Terry, thinking Emily, maybe Chatty Cakes, if he's available.
I got to talk to Chad. Yeah. See if he can pop in for some Saturday morning replay.
Yeah. But we would like to have an online, I think we would like to try to do a live episode. Maybe play some games, hang out, maybe do some hot takes, because if we have a bunch of people together doing hot takes, I think that would be really fun. Yeah. But we got to talk to some people and see if they're available. But yeah, we're thinking about doing an 8-year, anniversary show. So I'm really excited about that. So if you're listening, just know I'm probably going to reach out to you. but anything else before we go, you good?
That is all.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening to another episode of Nerds with Mics. This has been episode 144. And please make sure that you go and like and subscribe to our other platforms that we have. We have YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I think we even have TikTok, which we don't have a ton of stuff there, but maybe we'll try to add some stuff there. But also make sure you subscribe on iTunes, but also more importantly, make sure that you do two things. One, you leave us a review or a comment on any of those platforms, and also you share us with a friend. So without further ado, Justin, you know what to do.